Hi everyone, it's Bill Black, the Exit Coach from the Exit Coach Radio Show. You know, one of the biggest questions I get on the show is, what exactly goes into a business exit plan, and when should I start creating mine? Well, I always tell people that the best time to start was 5 years ago, but the next best time is now because you never know when you might need it. So we put together a free report that describes what an exit plan is and what you should know. You can get it free by texting exit plan with no spaces to 44222. That's exit plan to 44222. Again, text exit plan to 44222.
Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black. And now the Exit Coach Radio Show proudly presents the All-Star Review, a compilation of one-minute highlights from past guests. Hear more one-minute highlights and full interviews from these guests at ExitCoachRadio.com.
Of all the things that can happen on the way to the sale of your business, having a deal fall apart because of sloppy financials is probably the worst. Here's expert Addison Adams.
In the sale of a company, you are in a very cooperative process with the other side. If you're the seller of the business and the buyer is coming in and evaluating whether to buy your business, there needs to be a high level of trust there. A trust that you are not only being open and honest about your business and what you know about it, but also credibility that you know what you're talking about. And that when you hand over your financial statements, for example, they're clean, they're correct, they're complete, and they're not misleading. Preferably they're audited, and not only currently audited, but going back several years. And this is so that there is a confidence that comes in from the point of view of the buyer.
You're the trustee of your company's 401k or profit sharing plan. You have certain responsibilities. What can happen when things go wrong? We ask Buck Blanton.
We have a responsibility when we run qualified plans as a business owner, or in that world we call it a plan sponsor. That person has a responsibility of due care and due loyalty to the participant. And sometimes we forget that when we run plans and we do other things. But as you said, those breaches can become kind of onerous. The 2013 audit year, there were 3,566 audits performed by the Department of Labor, and more than $2.7 billion with a B dollars in fines and penalties were levied. All of those things can be done and levied against corporate officers personally. It's not your corporate seat that might get sued or levied. It's going to be you personally.
What are some of the biggest challenges facing family businesses in their management transition? We ask Transition Consulting Group's David and Paul Karofsky for their thoughts regarding this topic.
As the baby boomers are coming of age and getting a little bit older, as the next generation is starting to get a little bit older and come into that leadership position, this transfer of not only monetary wealth, but you're talking about the businesses, the assets, whatever it might be, there needs to be a plan to transfer that seamlessly. To my dad's point, the more planning you do and you talk about it as to what that transition of ownership looks like, what is that transition of leadership? Those two are not the same. They can be similar in tie, but they can be mutually exclusive as well. But until you really have a plan as to how you transfer that business from one generation to the next, it's very difficult to do it.
When a parent passes away, sometimes dealing with mom or dad's effects can be challenging. Here's senior real estate expert Allison Whitaker.
There's different levels of sorting through things. And so we work with organizers and professional inventory people, estate sale planners. And basically, they come in and they will help you sort, is this a donation pile? Is this a for sale pile? Are these items things that we need to send off to our auction house in London to get appraised and actually auction off? There's different auction houses as well, not just Sotheby's. If it's sports memorabilia, you know, that we would recommend using. There's also that element of, is it a good time to sell the house when it comes to taxes? Taxes are a whole nother conversation, and a lot of times people think, well, the market's up, we should just sell the house, but there could be some tax ramifications depending upon the way the estate has been set up, that maybe it's better to rent it out for a couple years.
How would an attorney specializing in professionals handle a case differently? We asked Miranda McCroskey.
A young man came to me with an allegation of a hit and run, and he was looking at jail time. Going to jail was going to be a big problem for a lot of reasons. So I provided the district attorney with all the mitigating factors, all the factors that they could consider in determining his sentence. And I stressed to the DA the consequences of the criminal conviction on this young man. And the benefit is he was able to do a diversion program, which means avoiding the conviction entirely. The less obvious benefit was that he avoided the criminal conviction that would have affected his path because he wanted to be a physical therapist. From the application process to the physical therapy board through the renewals that each board has, he would have had to bring that conviction up year after year and discuss that. And so he got to avoid all of that.
At ExitCoachRadio.com, we're interviewing over 100 top advisors to get you one-minute tips, ideas, and precautions so you can be well-planned. We upload new content daily at 6 a.m. and 1 p.m. ExitCoachRadio.com. Come listen for a minute.
With all the social media platforms to choose from, why has YouTube become so popular? We asked Joan Pounds.
The younger generations do a lot more visually, so a lot of times your YouTube videos and things like that are better ways to reach out to them. I found out through my son, actually, who's a teenager, that YouTube is the second largest search engine in the world. And I never even thought about going to YouTube to find out how to do something. And the beauty about YouTube is we can create our own videos right now from our phones and upload them to YouTube. And the neat thing about that is you're creating your own celebrity during that time. People buy from those they know, like, and trust. And that's one way for people to reach out, begin to know you and to like you and to trust you.
Family businesses can be very challenging sometimes. Here's Roseanne Levy from the Roark Group.
What I tell people is think about your family and think about working with them. We addressed many issues of families who work together and really helped them resolve them. What are they dealing with? What are their major issues? And, you know, just from there, we, you know, work with the family, work with all members of the family. Of course, all the family members have to be in agreement to say, okay, we want to make this better, we want it to work, because God knows in many cases they're not interested in cooperating and they each go their own way, and then the business tends to not thrive. So we're very much on top of what families go through. And I did have one member, I love to share this, who said, gosh, if we could only learn to run our businesses with our heads and not our hearts, we'd be a lot more successful. So that's always stayed with me, and it's really the truth.
John Murphy and David Horwich help business owners think like business buyers. Here's some of the common things that they see out there.
We tend to find many of the same things. We look at management. We look at the financial foundation. How good are the numbers, both historically and in the future? We look at the growth. What we often find is business owners spend too much money on growth. They plant a lot of seeds, and they plant too many seeds because they don't take enough time sometimes up front to determine what are the criteria they should use to judge the seeds, so they kind of plant a lot.
Another common theme that's been running through a lot of our clients over the last year or so has been sales operations and sales strategy and sales operations and development. A lot of companies that we've been working with, they're stalled out in growth and they're not sure why. And what we have found in taking a good hard look at them is that they don't have a great sales strategy in place. So we help them assess that, put that in place, and then get it going.
Today's topic is about cost reduction, specifically LED lighting. Here's Chaz Dykes.
LED lights are something in the neighborhood of 70% more efficient. So it's a substantial, very significant savings. Whenever I explain our program of cost reduction through LED retrofit, people say, oh yeah, that's exactly like what they're doing with the solar panels. And I'll tell you what, it's really very, very different than that. What people fail to understand is that if you go with the solar projects for your house and you have the panels put on, you don't own those panels. The company owns those panels, and you're just leasing them.
Oh. That,
the company goes in and goes to the feds and to the local government and gets
credits.
All of those credits and all those rebates. They do. With my program, you own the lights, you get all of that savings in addition to the reduced cost.
Okay, so you're ready to start your exit plan. We asked for three quick tips from Stacy McKibben.
Get your number. What is it that you're retiring to or that you're working towards? Understand what that is. That'll help your team to be able to help you to work backwards from that. So know that number and be prepared. Two is look around at your team. Core values of a company are exuded and exemplified by their team. More often than not, the challenges that I see in profitability are due to the fact of lack of productivity by the team. Lastly is run your business like you drive your car. car. You look at your car with a dashboard, you would get in a car and you would make sure that you had enough gas, that there was no check engine light on. All of those same things apply in your business. Do you have a clear dashboard? Do you understand how to read it? You don't need to be an accountant, but you do need to understand what the numbers are, and that is the health radiant of a business.
Hi everyone, it's Bill Black, the Exit Coach from the Exit Coach Radio Show. You know, one of the biggest questions I get on the show is, what exactly goes into a business exit plan, and when should I start creating mine? Well, I always tell people that the best time to start was 5 years ago, but the next best time is now, because you never know when you might need it. So we put together a free report that describes what an exit plan is and what you should know. You can get it free by texting exit plan with no spaces to 44222. That's exit plan to 44222. Again, text exit plan to 44222.
Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
Well, hey, everyone. Thanks so much for joining me today. It's always a pleasure to have you with me. You know, we interview a wide variety of guests here at Exit Coach Radio, everything from business coaches to professionals and accountants, attorneys, and other professionals that can help you with all aspects of your life. And today I'm fortunate to have with me Joseph Nazarian of the Nazarian Law Firm. And we're going to talk about personal injury matters. And I guess what we're going to really talk about is the fact that what you need to have in case of a personal injury matter is a good defense. So, Joe, welcome to the show. Thanks so much for joining me today.
It's an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for having me, Bill.
Yeah, my pleasure, Joe.
Well, how are you doing today?
You know, I'm doing well. It's, you know, we've been experiencing in Southern California here. We're taping this in January 2019, and we've been experiencing a week of rain, and I would imagine being in the business of helping people who are having injuries and accidents, that you must be pretty busy these days.
Yeah, you know, an interesting statistic. The other day I was just looking up some stats on what happens during the rainy season. And, you know, when it first started raining out here in California, for some reason, people just seemed to absolutely lose their minds. In Los Angeles alone, they reported on the first day of rains that over 400 accidents were reported in a four-hour period. And, you know, it happens for a multitude of reasons. One reason could be that, you know, since we don't get a lot of rain here, that the road gets very slippery and gets slick with the oil from all the vehicles. And so those first rains, really, you need to be extra cautious on the road because other drivers don't know how to drive properly in the rain. And a lot of people just lose their minds. They're still texting and driving, and they're not abiding by the regulations, which, you know, say you should be driving safer and slower when there's the rain. They still drive the same way, and I think that's a lot of the reasons why there's so many accidents happening.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm always surprised at how people just don't seem to adjust their driving habits in a treacherous rainstorm, especially, like you said, around here. You know, the roads get coated with oil over the dried spell, and all of a sudden it rains a little bit, and it's the, you know, the first rains are probably the worst because it's just all coming up on the surface still. But yeah, it's crazy how people just weave in and out and don't leave enough space and cut in front of a truck, don't leave the braking space. But again, what's bad for them is where you come in. So before we get into what you do and how you do it, tell us a little bit about your background and how you got into this particular area of the law, Joe.
So I've been working in personal injury law for about a decade at this point. I've worked in a multitude of different personal injury law firms, and each firm, you know, they had different mottos and they all work different ways. But the basis behind it is that we wanted to help people and we want to help them recover from their injuries. I've had my own law firm now for 4 years. As soon as I passed the bar, I went into business for myself because I knew what I wanted to do. I knew how I wanted to accomplish it for my clients, and I wanted to make sure that I was focusing on them and really giving them the personal care and attention that they deserve when they've gone through such a traumatic experience. And And that's really what my philosophy is I want to make sure that I'm giving every person the same care, whether their case is worth $1 million or whether their case is worth a couple thousand dollars.
Now, Joe, there are, as we all know, there are a lot of segments in the law, in the law industry, if you will, in the law profession. There are a lot of ways you can go. What really motivated you to fuel your career path into personal injury law in particular?
So when I was a young buck, I had a severe need for speed. And when I was younger, I was always getting speeding tickets and I wasn't driving the best. And I was actually involved in 8 different car accidents. And, you know, thank God, knock on wood, that I was never severely hurt. You know, I had soft tissue injuries. And what basically ended up happening is that I went through the ringers multiple times. I went through the whole process from beginning to end, and I became very familiar with the personal injury process. I dealt with different attorneys, I dealt with different insurance companies, and every single time it was just a different story. And what it made me realize is how just overwhelming the process can be for anyone that's been involved in an accident, and how it's so important to be dealing with an attorney who really has your best interest in mind and is going to inform you about the whole process. And I had a lot of attorneys that, you know, you'd sign up with them and then you wouldn't hear from them again for months, and it was hard to get in touch with them. And a lot of times the reason that relationships deteriorate between the client and the attorney is because there's no communication. And so I just realized going through all 8 of these accidents and dealing with insurance companies and different attorneys that I wanted to help. And I wanted to really try to focus on providing some different perspective from this, you know, piece of law, and really try to be able to help the clients understand the process so that they're not sitting there worried all the time about what's going on. Why have I not heard from my attorney? What's happening in the case? And so I wanted to see if I could provide a different light and aspect from my own experiences.
Well, good for you for starting your own firm out of that. And when people approach you, are most of your cases from auto type of injuries? And what other types of cases do you take on? What do you see in a normal day or week?
So for me, what I like to say is, you know, if you've been involved in a vehicle accident, slip and fall, premises liability, medical malpractice, and so I'm throwing out a lot of words, and a lot of people don't know what those are. So vehicle accident can be anything from a car accident, a motorcycle accident, a truck accident. Slip and fall could be, you know, if you go to a restaurant, somebody, a waiter pours a drink on the ground, you slip and hurt yourself. Medical malpractice case, let's say that you're deathly allergic to hydrocodone, and then a doctor prescribes you hydrocodone. And then wrongful death would be any of those scenarios in which somebody ends up passing away and it's considered a wrongful death accident. And then there's pedestrian and bicycle accidents where a vehicle typically, or another, you know, bicycle or pedestrian can crash into each other. And those are really the broad spectrum of cases. A simplified way of saying that is whenever somebody hurts another person, or if you get hurt on somebody else's property, then you will most likely have a personal injury situation. And those are the types of cases that we handle.
In real estate terms, you know, there's a buyer's agent and a seller's agent, and some people specialize in one or the other. So it sounds like to me that you work a lot, of course, with people who have become injured. Do you also work with people who have caused injury?
So I typically do a lot of plaintiff's work, which are the people that have been injured by the other side. But I do also work as general counsel for a lot of bigger companies, such as, let's say, if you own a trucking company, or if you own a rideshare company, or somewhere where you're offering drivers, let's say limousines. What I will do is I will give general counsel to these companies, because a lot of these companies can save most of the headaches of what they're struggling with by having a solid defense, which is what the topic of this speech is, where you can have certain types of insurances, you can have certain types of coverages, you can put a dash cam on your driver's cars, you know, all these little steps, you can keep track of exactly what these drivers are doing, how they're doing it. And if you, you know, have this whole process where, let's say, God forbid, an accident happens, all you have to do is upload this data and take what you've prepared for. And it's a much easier way to deal with these lawsuits and these claims. But a lot of companies, they just don't know what's necessary for a personal injury claim, so they never prepare properly. And so when you prepare properly, you can alleviate most of the stress in personal injury, because a lot of it is the same processes over and over again. And if you prepare ahead of time, you can save yourselves from most of the problems that do come along with a personal injury matter.
That's great, great advice for our audience. And, you know, do you find that a lot of businesses have not taken the precautions that they should be taking when you first talk with them to have a good defense?
You know, a lot of one of the biggest problems in personal injury law in general is a lack of knowledge. You know, most of my clients call me and they want to talk to an attorney right now, right this minute, this second. I need to speak to someone immediately. And they don't realize that personal injury claims in general, it's a long process. It's not something that gets resolved immediately. I have to explain to my clients, look, you're not going to see a dollar for months, potentially years on this claim. And so it goes back to the big problem where a lot of people are just misinformed about personal injury. For example, they don't know that they can get a type of insurance called UM or UIM is what it's called on your policies. What that stands for is uninsured or underinsured motorist. And so what I always advise my clients is you should always call your insurance company and ask them if you have this coverage. This is a coverage that will cover you if some idiot out there hits you and causes crazy damage. Let's say, so most people in the state of California, I'm going to take a step back. Most people in the state of California, the minimums are $15,000 liability. $15,000 nowadays will barely pay for your ambulance bill and will not pay for any serious injury. So you need to take it upon yourself to have a much stronger policy. You need to make sure that you have enough coverage to cover you and your assets. So for like a couple hundred dollars, sometimes less, a year, you can have a policy that's sometimes up to $1 million in umbrella coverage, which will cover you if some idiot crashes into you and really hurts you behind the wheel and they have the worst policy ever. So once again, if you take the initiative to make sure you are protecting yourselves, it will help you so much in the long run. I have an example of a case right now where it's a nightmare situation. I have a client. She was rear-ended by a drunk driver. She got hit going like 70 miles per hour. Her life is pretty much, she has brain damage. She has collapsed lungs. She has steel plating in her ribs, and she's never going to be able to breathe more than 50% on one side. But the person that hit her is broke. They put the address of where they live as the jail because they don't have a home, and they had a decent policy, but nothing crazy. And, you know, if my client had taken the initiative to get a better policy, then she could have had more protection on her end. But one thing in my business is you can't squeeze blood from a turnip. If there's no money to get, a lot of times you have to deal with what's there. And so there are hard situations like that where a lot of times, you know, you do get hit someone with a minimum policy, but you have a catastrophic injury and you have to work with what cards you're dealt a lot of the time.
That's another great tip for our listeners. And Joe, I know that you are well networked, especially here in Southern California, through your involvement in groups like Provisors, which is a wonderful networking group of top professionals. So I'm sure you have on your Rolodex, if you still have a Rolodex, a wide variety or a long list of names of people, professionals that listeners can call if they want to learn more about people that are professionals in the different areas you're talking about, like insurance. So that's one great thing about people like Joe. They care enough to go out and meet other professionals so that they can be of value to you listeners out there. So keep that in mind. So what are some interesting facts about personal injury law that most people don't know?
So the first thing I like to tell people is adjusters, insurance adjusters specifically, they have no souls. They really don't care about you. They don't care about your family. They don't care about what you're suffering through. They are trained to not be emotional or have any type of attachment to a case. These guys have 100 to 200 plus cases on their desk. It is their job to save money. Insurance companies are in the business of saving money. That's why the state of California has such garbage limits. Why do you think you're only required to have $15,000 limit? They don't want to pay out more than $15,000. So that's why they never inform you that you can get a $250,000 policy for $100 more a year. And they will never tell you that because they don't want to deal with those types of claims. So that's the first thing I like to tell people. For adjusters, it's all just a numbers game. It's what we can prove, what we can show, and what we can put on paper. Because even if we go to litigation, this is another piece that most people don't know, I can negotiate with the other attorney on the other side. The defense will hire a law firm. But a lot of people don't know that it doesn't matter. If I come to a resolution with that attorney, the adjuster still has to approve whatever they pay out because they are in charge of the money and they make all the decisions. So that's one piece of information. And then second, I want to tell everyone, so when you're in an accident, if you're a marathon runner, you should not be posting about marathons. But I mean, in general, if you're in an accident, you won't be able to run a marathon. But what I'm getting at is if you post on social media, assume that the defense or the insurance company will see whatever you post. So if you're saying that your back hurts and your neck hurts and that you're injured, but you're posting that you're traveling in Europe going backpacking, assume that insurance companies will find that. It's astounding how much your phone stores data about you, but it's astounding how much you can find with a general search. There's a website called PIPL.com, people.com, where you can literally look and find everyone's usernames for their Facebook, Instagram, so on and so forth. You can look on this website called Twitter Machine, which will show every single tweet you've made since the beginning of Twitter. And there's so many websites like this. There's entire departments of these insurance companies which are dedicated to making sure they find out if you're lying about your case or if you are not being truthful about your injuries, and they will not pay you out. And you need to make sure that you're being smart about what you're posting. And if you are seriously injured, of course, it's something that you need to take into consideration.
Wow, really great tips from somebody who knows what they're talking about, because, you know, a lot of times people might get a call from what seems like a friendly adjuster, let's say, who is asking questions, and they start volunteering information or getting chatty or chummy and not realizing that they're really negotiating against themselves, right?
100%. People think that these adjusters care about them. They're just trying to get as much information as they can to discredit everything. These guys are not on your side. And, you know, they always say, like, Allstate or whatever, what is that company? We are on your side. Yeah, they're not on your side. Mm-hmm. Their job is to save their company money, and it's to limit whatever they're going to pay out to you. And it's a very sad reality because they get so many claims a day, and there are people out there, you know, that they inflate their bills. They inflate what's actually happening between them and the injury and the doctors. And so they give a bad name to people who are actually injured, and they make it a very difficult nightmare process for all the attorneys out there trying to advocate for their clients. And so one thing I can say is this is, you know, the reason a lot of people like to work with me is we at my firm, we don't ever rush to settle the case. We focus as much as we can on the healing process. A lot of firms that you work with, they'll like want to get the case settled faster so we can get the money. But the problem is with most soft tissue injuries and just, you know, acute injuries, the pain is long term. And so you'll have like flare ups. So you'll have people come back with injuries. And once you've settled the case, you will never see another dollar for the rest of time. They want to get you off their desk. They want to get you, they want to pressure you to settle immediately, and they want to pressure you to go away as fast as possible. Cause that's once again, what insurance is all about. Pay the minimum amount, get rid of them, and make this go away so we don't have to pay for a lawsuit. And so you want to make sure, sure, you're partnering up with law firms that have your best interests in mind. And you are the only person who can determine when you are healed. You are the only person who knows when your leg is feeling better. You are the only person who knows when you can function back to that 100% or as close as we can get you there. So you need to make sure you team up with the people that really care about you and have your best interests in mind.
Great, great tips. So here's something interesting, Joe. I mean, like you said, you've been in eight car accidents. I've been in a few myself over the years. And anybody who has, anybody listening, knows how disconcerting and disorienting it can be at that moment. You know, your life's just changed. Things happen very quickly. You kind of wonder what just happened. Is everybody okay? You have a lot of questions. Now, you have something that's very valuable for our listeners to keep in their glove box. Can you tell us a little bit about what you have available and how people can get that?
Absolutely. So I remember once, I'm not one of those people that typically pull over on the side of the road when I see an accident, but I did see this younger girl. She looked like she was 16, 17 years old. I pulled over on the side of the road, and I remember seeing this girl. She's crying her eyes out. The other car just got towed away, and I'm asking her, I'm like, how you doing? What happened? She's like, oh, I got in this accident. This guy hit me. And I'm like, okay, is this like, did he just drive away right now? And he's like, yeah. She's like, yeah. I'm like, did you get his phone number? She's like, no. I'm like, okay, did you get his insurance? She goes, no. She starts crying more. I'm like, did you take pictures of his car? She goes, no, starts crying more. And I just asked her basic questions, you know, just stuff that you need to do when you're in an accident. And she just, by the time my conversation's over, she's bawling. She feels like she's done nothing, freaking out. And after I had that moment, I was like, I need to provide something for free to everyone just so that they can have this documentation. And so I have a pamphlet, which it has a brief checklist of what to do while you're at the scene of the accident. And then it has in detailed paragraphs about what you should do for each step of the phase, you know, every state phase from being collecting photographs to taking pictures, to calling your insurance, to when you should reach out to the attorney. And then at the back, there's a nice checklist, which says everything that you need to collect. And I even had this checklist verified by an Orange County sheriff to say that this information was all information that is necessary for a police report, and that he would love if anybody had this filled out when he arrived to the scene of the accident and handed it to him, he would be ecstatic and he would be more than happy to use it and to basically be able to get that information. And so I've been working on this for a better part of a year and a half, and it's pretty perfected. Tiny little pamphlet folds nicely, keeps in your glove compartment. And one thing I do want to say is if you have young children that are drivers, like I was when I was in college and in high school, you need to give them these pamphlets, and you need to make sure they're keeping it in their car, because as a young driver, you have no gosh darn clue what to do when you've been in an accident. And there's no one that's walking around explaining to you what you should do in an accident. You think you're Superman. You think you're never going to get in an accident. So you don't ever think twice. And God forbid something happens, you want to make sure that they're prepared. And so if anybody needs, please feel free to reach out to me. I will mail you a physical pamphlet, and I will also give you a PDF so you can print it out on your own.
Yeah, children or grandchildren. And, you know, don't just hand it to them and tell them to put them in the glove compartment. Hey, we're all looking for conversation topics with our teenagers. Here you go. Walk them through it. Tell them how important it is. Tell them you heard this interview from an attorney who knows what he's talking about, and that they should basically understand that this is very important. This is a very important moment when you've had an accident to be on your game, and this is a way for you to do that. So, Joe, thanks so much for talking to us today. Tell our listeners how to best get in touch with you.
Okay, fantastic. So you can reach me at my law firm's phone number is 949-764-3402. But if you wanted to reach out to my website, it's nazarianlawfirm.com. I also have, I'm on Twitter. I'm on Tumblr. You can find me on LinkedIn under my name, Joseph Nazarian. My email is jnazarian. So N like in Nancy, A Z as in zebra, ARIAN at nazarianlawfirm.com. And if you have any general questions or just personal injury matters, I do not charge for consultations. I will be more than willing to talk you through your process, and I'm more than willing to give you advice. And like Bill brought up, I'm part of a couple of different networking groups, and I take it upon my pride to actually have a Rolodex of attorneys. So if you do need a recommendation to another attorney for any legal matter whatsoever, I probably know the person that's the best at what they do, and I would be more than willing to connect you directly to them, once again, free of charge. So I look forward to hearing from all of you in the future if you ever have any personal injury matters, and I just remember to call Joe whenever you need some help.
Hey, and let me just chime in there, listeners, that I sit in meetings where Joe has accolades showered upon him for his work, his response time with people's clients. If you're a professional that's listening, make sure you have Joe on your Rolodex as well. So, Joe, thanks once again for joining us. And we're going to take a short break. We'll be right back after this, so please stay with us.
Hey, everybody, it's Bill Black, the Exit Coach from the Exit Coach Radio Show. One of the questions I get asked the most is, how do I grow the value of my business? I'm so busy working in it, I need to work on it. So we've created a special report for you on 10 tips to grow the value of your business. Just text the word DRIVERS to 44222 to get a special free report right to your inbox. That's DRIVERS to 44222. Text DRIVERS to 44222.
Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio.
Hi, everyone. It's Bill Black, the Exit Coach from the Exit Coach Radio Show. You know, one of the biggest questions I get on the show is, what exactly goes into a business exit plan, and when should I start creating mine? Well, I always tell people that the best time to start was 5 years ago, but the next best time is now, because you never know when you might need it. So we put together a free report that describes what an exit plan is and what you should know. You can get it free by texting exit plan with no spaces to 44222. That's exit plan to 44222. Again, text exit plan to 44222.
Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.